This is our daily reading for Friday, April 3rd. We're going to be in John chapter 6, and we will start with verse 41. John chapter 6, verse 41. The Jews grumbled about him, that is Jesus, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So going back to our reading from yesterday, just to remind us where we're at, Jesus had fed the 5,000 and then had gone across to Capernaum, and they followed him and they asked him, you know, "When did you come here?" Verse 26 of John 6, "You're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." And they're still looking for that. And they focus on the physical manna that was in the wilderness, verse 31. And verse 32, Jesus points out it was not Moses that gave the bread, but it was the Father. And then he uses that as a spiritual stepping off point for verse 33. "The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then they said, "Give us this bread always." And then he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So this is the conversation that's going on. And verse 40, he makes that statement, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So that's where we start for today with verse 41. The Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And of course, what do they jump right to? Well, is this not the son of Joseph? We know his parents. Did we not watch him grow up? Is the kind of idea that is presented there? Did we not see him as a little child? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus says, don't grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. He's not saying something terribly profound there. The idea of the Father drawing is just a matter of it being that they either find the Word of God to be attractive, they find that it is something that they want to either know more about or obey, or both. So that's all the drawing that's going on there. It's not some supernatural thing. It's just a matter of those that are willing to listen and are willing to open their hearts to the Word of God. And then verse 45, they will be taught by God, and everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So if they're actually listening, if they're actually paying attention, then yes, you would come to Jesus. It is possible to read the Bible. It is possible to read the Word of God and not really be listening, not really being paying attention. That is, they have not opened their hearts to what God has to say. There are many that study the Bible with the only intention being to find some contradiction or find something to make accusation. There are many atheists that can quote many verses within the Bible, but they're doing it to their own destruction. They're doing it to try to twist those scriptures in order to prove a false doctrine, a false point, try to make some accusation against God, but it's not successful. And verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. So Jesus is talking about seeing the Father in a way that they cannot see. That he's going back to that unity that we talked about before, that he and the Father are one and that their will is one and that he's come to do that will on the earth. Verse 47, this is not a new statement. We've talked about this in previous readings. Whoever believes has eternal life. Again, it's a belief that prompts one to action. It is the instilling of a good conscience that we answer to, as Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3. And then he says, I am the bread of life. So he's reiterating what he stated in our reading from yesterday, that there is this bread from heaven and that it is him. Verse 35 of John chapter 6, he stated, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 49, then he goes on to say, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. They died. That was a physical sustenance, and it only lasted, you know, a day. Then you needed more manna. It only sustained the bodies in so much as it lasted. And these bodies give out. We do die. But verse 50 said, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. But see, now he's talking spiritually. He's not talking about this body living forever in some, you know, supernatural maintenance of the body. But he's talking about our spirits, that which is in us, that God has instilled within us, that makes us different from all of the rest of creation, that it would not die, that it would have eternal life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Well, now he's getting into that harder teaching that the Jews are going to have a real difficult time with. And of course, his disciples have a difficult time with it too. There are many that have followed him. Remember, we talked about the disciples of John the Baptist that left John and followed Jesus. So there's more than just the 12 that he's called that fall under the disciples that are following him at this point. So they're going to have a hard time with this too. We'll get there in just a moment. So verse 52, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I mean, that's a repugnant idea of eating a human being's flesh. Sometimes we hear these reports of somebody stranded somewhere, on a mountain or wilderness or what have you, and, they resort to cannibalism in order to survive, and we wonder, how could anybody consider doing that, especially someone they knew? That's repugnant to us. And so it's repugnant to the Jews as well. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? But that's not literally what Jesus is saying, is feasting on his flesh, that body that he was in, dwelling on this earth. Verse 53, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, that would have been repugnant too, this idea of drinking the blood. They're taught under the Old Testament that the blood is life, and that they weren't to drink of that blood. They weren't to eat food that still had the blood within it. Verse 54, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Remember, he's still trying to get a spiritual point across, but using physical terms to describe it. And him as the Lamb of God, and him as the one who his body would be put on that cross and his blood spilled in order to be the sacrifice for our sins, that he's talking about that flesh and that blood there. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So he's not giving a direct explanation that would open their understanding here. My impression that it is that he is intentionally giving this hard teaching without the explanation in order to weed out those that are not drawn to him, those that are not true believers. I could be wrong in that, but that's my impression here with what he's doing. And those who have not been privy to more teaching would find this very difficult. I mean, we still read it today and we find it difficult. However, we have the whole revelation for us so that we can put two and two together and come to the answer that it is Jesus' body and blood that was the sacrifice for sins that brings us eternal life, because we believe, we have faith, and we are obedient to him, and we do that which is required of us. But they didn't have that whole revelation yet at this time. Verse 59, he said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. But his disciples, okay, the whole of his disciples, there are those that said, this is a hard saying, who can listen to this? And Jesus knew what they're thinking, knew what they're grumbling. He says, do you take offense of this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? So he's pointing to that point of unbelief. They have not come to the point where they truly believe that he is the Son of God on this earth walking. Maybe it's that they could accept him being a prophet, but could not yet accept that particular truth about him. But he says, if you truly believed, maybe they would not take that offense. But verse 63, to his disciples here, he gives a little bit more explanation. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. So, not a full explanation, but perhaps a ray into it to illuminate a little bit of this teaching. He's talking about spiritual truths. Verse 64, there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, who it was that would betray him, speaking of Judas. Verse 65, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. However, it is us who closes our heart to the truth of God's word. If we don't open ourselves up to that truth, then we will never be able to accept it. It will never abide within us. It will never bring us that life. So after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. I don't know how many many is, but in verse 67, Jesus says to the 12. I don't know if that truly means that now it's whittled back down to only the 12 that he called, or if now he's in some maybe semi-private conversation with those 12. He says, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered him, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So Peter is willing to make this confession. Verse 70, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So chapter 6 has an awful lot in it. There is a unity amongst all these separate, well, paragraph markings, if you will, if you've got those within your Bible. But some 71 verses within a chapter, that's pretty long, at least is the way that we look at these divisions of books today. But there is this unity among it, speaking of this bread of life, the words of eternal life, this which Jesus was trying to convey to them. And again, maybe he's weeding out some of those that are not ready to accept all these things yet, keeping his group of disciples small enough to manage, if you will, primarily teaching the 12 so that they could be his apostles later. But it is an important chapter for us to think about, especially for us to think about in terms of, of course, you know, we partake of the Lord's Supper, the bread representing the body of Jesus, and the fruit of the vine being the emblem of the blood that we would partake, remembering his body and blood that was sacrificed for our sins. But he's talking about more than just that. He's talking about the whole message of God, the words that come from Jesus as the Word, Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus as the one who has come to deliver and to act out the will of God. So it's more than just, you know, that we think about when we partake of the Lord's Supper, but it certainly does include that. So we really need to understand chapter 6 in order to wrap our minds around the role of Jesus delivering the word and then culminating after he's done that in his sacrifice for our sins. So I hope that this has benefited you today, and I hope that you will continue in prayer and that you will be steadfast in your faith, that you will continue to grow spiritually during our time of isolation. Again, if you have questions, if there's anything that I can discuss with you and help you with, then just reach out to me. I will be glad to do that. We can do that over the phone. We can do that over email. I will be happy to do that. And, of course, if you have something specific that you would like to share with the elders and have us pray for you and pray with you about, then please reach out to us in those things as well. Thank you for listening. And I continue to pray that God be with us all.